for Facebook or?
Yeah, I thought I had sent that to you. Did I
No,
not?
I put it on Facebook and Twitter
you put it
already.
On the, could you put it on the forum too?
I have already, but I'll.
Okay, that's good. That's fine. That's covered then.
I'll send it. I know you want to get the Australians on here, Wes. So let me.
We have a big Australian audience, Jim. So.
We have another Australian coming next year.
Do you really?
Oh, we do.
Good.
Wow. Well, let's save that. Well, let's get started then, because we are live.
All right.
So, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 97 for June 5th, 2018. And I'm going to, you know, get right into the introductions. Normally, we kind of introduce everybody and kind of see what everybody's doing. But tonight, we've got Wes and Ryan on with us. But we do have a special guest tonight, and that is TCU baseball coach. Yes, it is official. Jim Schlossnagel. Jim, coach, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm fired up.
Well, I guess it would be a bit of an understatement to say the last couple of weeks have been a little little crazy around Fort Worth, and I'm sure around the Schlossnagel homestead. You have just officially, according to D1 Baseball this morning, you have removed your name out of consideration for the MSU job, and you are you're full on board coaching TCU for next season. How happy are you to kind of get this all behind you?
Oh, super excited. You know, there was never, I never for one second stopped working hard for TCU. I've been here 15 years and have had multiple opportunities to, have other conversations with other schools. And I had one in 2005, which I've been very upfront about. And all that did was reconfirm that TCU was the great right place for me and my family back then. And in this particular situation, it was just something that I was interested in learning more about. And all I did was have two conversations, one on the phone and one in person. And the same thing happened that, it just reconfirms all the great things about TCU. And that's I'm sorry that some of this became public, but at the same time, I try to be super honest with how I answer questions, and maybe that was a fault. Maybe I should have been the no comment guy, or the guy that just flat lies.
No, I think we like you being very upfront with the fan base.
I do want everybody to know this. There is no better job than the job that I have. There are different jobs, but there is no better job. I have the best job in the country, and it's not close. My family's awesome. Family's doing great. Kids are doing great. Jackson's going to be a freshman at TCU next fall. And there's a good chance Katie, my daughter, she's going to be a senior, and it's a good chance she'll end up there. So, we're fired up, and nothing has ever changed about my love for TCU and my love for Fort Worth.
Well, we love you, Coach, and we're glad you're here with us.
Yeah, but I'm glad to be here. It's, I'm just hoping we can get through these next 2.5 days in the Major League Draft. It's amazing how 2 days in the week of June can literally dictate 6 months in the spring in during college baseball season. So I hope everybody out there say their prayers and that we can hold on to the guys that we need to hold on to put together our best club.
Well, speaking of holding on to guys, we just got some breaking news before we went on that your best buddy there on the coaching staff, Coach Sarlos, has decided to stay on with TCU as well, and he is not pursuing the job at Rice. I'm sure that makes you pretty happy, and I'm sure that makes your players very happy.
Yeah, I think continuity amongst the coaching staff is just, so super important. And the more success you have, the more people, want your people, whether it be your strength coach, whether it be the equipment manager. And, I'm one of my many sayings and philosophies is that when the team goals are met, the individual goals get met. And right. certainly we didn't meet very many team goals this year, but over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, it's gone pretty well, and everybody benefits from that. The the head coach gets a new contract and assistant coaches get raises, and they also raise their profile to be a head coach. And so that's happened for Kirk, and that's happened for Coach Mosdiello. Luckily, you know, TCU is an amazing place, and Chancellor Bashini and every athletic director that we've had has been super committed to college baseball. And then you add in Fort Worth. And as Coach Patterson and I talk about all the time, as good as TCU is, and TCU is awesome, Fort Worth is better. And Fort Worth is really a city that, you know, provides a lifestyle that you really can't match anywhere in the country. And I've lived all over this country, east to west and south. And so, you know, Coach Sarlos feels the same way. He's got, you know, young children, and he lives two blocks off the campus of the football stadium. So it's a great day for his family and a great day for TCU.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, let's take a look at the draft. The draft's going on right now, I guess. And you've got some players in there that we talked a little bit earlier about that on the current roster you expect you're probably going to lose this year or lose to the draft this year. Can you talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, you know, certainly part of being a college baseball coach is dealing with the Major League Draft. And, you know, some of that, you certainly want that for your current sure. player. Want them to have the opportunity to reach their personal goals of becoming a Major League player. We just want it to happen for them at the right time.
Sure.
And so if that's in the first or second or third round and for a great bonus, then that's awesome. You know, that's what you want for the guys. But if it's much later in the draft, you know, it's of our opinion that instead of signing for a couple hundred thousand bucks, which after taxes is certainly not life-changing money, you're much better off coming back and getting your degree.
Yeah.
And that way, when you're finished playing professional baseball, if you sign after your senior year, then you don't have to come back to school. And you would be shocked, you know, and a lot of people will say, well, you can always come back to college. They don't come back. Even with two semesters, even a guy like Austin Wade or Evan Skoug, who are great students, imagine how hard it is to come back when you're 27, 28 years old, maybe married with a child.
Yeah.
That's really hard to do. So anyway, but to answer your question, I'm really pulling tonight. The draft is going on. They'll do the first two rounds or about the first 80 picks. And we think that Durbin Feltman and I think Lucan both have really good chances to go here on the first day. And that would be an awesome statement for them and an awesome, awesome statement for TCU.
So if you lose Watson and Baker, you've given up a lot of power. And of course, with Skoug leaving last year, and he gave up 20 home runs, who you got somebody in the on deck to bring the power next year?
We always think we do, you know. I always like to tell people, how many coaches have you ever interviewed, male or female, in any sport? Has any coach ever talked about how bad their recruiting class is?
No, never.
Every recruiting class in the history of recruiting classes was the greatest class ever. And I'm being facetious because you just never know until you get them here. But certainly, you know, it just depends on the draft. I mean, we've signed some guys that both high school and junior college that we feel like can make a immediate impact in our lineup. We've signed a fair amount of, you know, junior college players. I think five or six, maybe seven junior college players.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And as you know, we don't announce our recruiting classes. And I would like to address that as to why we do that. And that's because if you have a player come to your school that isn't on baseball scholarship, then you cannot announce him publicly.
Ah, okay.
So imagine Preston Morrison. He's a pretty good pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Jason, he's the best pitcher in the history of the school. Jason Coates, pretty good player. Keaton Jones, pretty good player. Those are some of the greatest players that we've had during my time at TCU. But when they came to TCU, they were not on baseball scholarship. They were here on maybe academic scholarship. They were a walk-on. They were maybe here on alternative means. And so, but they're still important to us.
Sure.
And so what I refuse to do is ever put a kid in a situation where he feels like less of a recruit or less of a player. They're all the same. It doesn't matter whether they're on scholarship or not.
Right.
And so we just don't announce anybody. So, and I know the fans would like to know, and, you know, at our Diamond Club meetings and stuff like that, I'll go through some of that stuff. But anyway, we have about five or six infielders that we've signed, one that can go out and play the outfield that we're super excited about, two kids off of the junior college runner-up this past week from Walter State in Tennessee. We just have to make it through the draft with them. So I'm afraid to talk about them too much because I don't want to jinx it for those guys to show up. But I can tell you this, if we have the right guys show up to school and they work hard, then I feel really good about our lineup. We're going to have a lot of transition. We had a lot of new players this past year. We're going to have a lot of new players next year. But I like what we have a chance to work with if we can just get them to campus.
Yeah.
You're talking about new players this year and losing a little bit of power. One of those new players, AJ Balto, was absolutely tremendous this year. He was second only to Lucan Baker as far as batting average goes. It's too bad we only had him for 1 year. Are there any more graduate transfers in the pipeline?
Well, those things aren't, you know, there's no way to find out about them unless they contact you or you hear about it. And those are usually things when the major league, you know, once the major league draft is over, hopefully we won't be scrambling. But a lot of the years, as we were really scrambling last year, in the month of July is when we signed Connor Shepherd and AJ Balta. So, so to answer your question, it just depends on the major league draft because we may not have any needs. And B, if we get smoked in the draft for some reason, then we will definitely be in that market.
Well, you got smoked a little bit last year. I think if I remember correctly, you had some kids coming in from California that probably would have played a significant role this year, and they got taken in by the draft and I guess signed. I guess if you're losing Lucan and a couple of the players you mentioned, like you said, you have to wait out and see what the draft leaves you. But
it dictates everything we do every single day. As soon as you sign a player, then you have to start re-recruiting him against 30 big league teams and
with a checkbook. Yeah,
you know, and that exactly that. Here's what I like to say on that: college baseball has all of the rules and none of the money. Professional baseball has none of the rules and all of the money. And so, you know, sometimes you get lucky and Nick Lodolo, and I mean, our track record's been pretty good. You know,
yeah.
Lucan Baker came to school. Charles King was a possible big draft. Ryan Johnson didn't turn out to be a great player for us, although he had a great year this year at Kentucky, but he was a super high draft pick guy. Certainly Lodolo. So, we'll just keep our fingers crossed here today and tomorrow and see where it leads us.
Well, let's talk about the scholarship limit. Cause I think right now you've got, correct me if I'm wrong, 11.75 scholarships you can hand out.
11.7.
Do you see any relief on that number coming up anytime soon? Or is that dictated by Title IX and requirements of that?
Yeah, I don't see that changing whatsoever. I mean, there are a lot of even Division I programs, for instance, in the North that don't even give the full allotment of 11.7 scholarships. If we could somehow, you know, you have the BCS schools and the non-BCS, autonomy legislation, whatever.
Right.
If we could somehow have just maybe the BCS schools maybe play for a different World Series, maybe you could have more scholarships, but that'll never happen. It is what it is, and we just have to deal with it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you've done a pretty good job dealing with it so far, so I guess you're learning how to work around it.
Yeah, you know, it just creates, you know, and hey, listen, you know, nobody holds a gun to my head or Kirk's head or Bill's head and makes us coach at TCU. There are a million things about TCU that make up for that. But the bottom line is when you have a $60,000 to $65,000 cost and you only have 11.7 scholarships, you can do the math as to how challenging that is to make it affordable for a family.
Exactly.
Especially a kid from the state of Texas. For example, we would have to give a guy 67% of a baseball scholarship just to get, who's from Texas, just to get it to the point where he can go to Texas A&M on no baseball scholarship. So we have to find what we call the three P's: a guy that can play, he's good enough to play for us; a guy that can pass, in other words, he's a good enough student to hopefully get some academic aid, because you can combine baseball and academic aid together. And then the last P is a family that can afford to pay. They have to be able to pay the difference. And, you know, when you're sitting with a family in my office and they've had their campus tour and they've seen the stadium, we've shown them the videos, and I mean, it's a love fest. We're hugging each other. We love you. You love us. And now let's talk about the money. And all of a sudden, everybody's facial expressions change.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And they're like, wait, it's going to cost me $3,000 to go to this state school, but you're asking me to pay $30,000 to come here. And there are kids that do it, but we just have to find them.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be a challenge.
So do you think the best solution to this problem is to have kind of a tiered system in baseball, kind of like we do in football?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll ever happen, but if you could ever find a situation that allowed the, you know, Power Five schools to have, say, imagine this, if you like football, when Gary or even basketball, when Jamie, when they recruit somebody, they just get to decide whether they offer them a full scholarship or not. And then the kid gets to decide, does he like the school? It's not based on money. It's just, does he like the school or not?
Right.
Imagine if, you know, room and board at most schools is about the same. Imagine if we had, say, 25 tuition only scholarships. So A&M could only offer tuition, Texas could only offer tuition, and TCU could only offer tuition. Well, then now the kid gets to decide where he wants to go on what he likes. And actually our tuition would have more value because it's more expensive. So we could sell that. But, you know, we've tried to propose that many times and it's gotten shot down. Maybe one day that'll change, but I don't see it changing.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. I know that's one of the big inequities as far as college baseball goes. So hopefully you guys can get that changed in the future. That would be nice.
Yeah, no question.
So moving on a little bit, we got a couple of lighthearted questions from some of our viewers. TCU Maniac, who is no stranger to this particular show, wants to know, what are your thoughts on the Woo?
Well, it wouldn't be my cheer of choice for me personally, but I'm all for anything that creates atmosphere in our stadium. And, when you sit here and you watch these super regional games and everything that's going on, you see the atmospheres, you've seen those atmospheres in our ballpark at times. I mean, I'm all for anything that gets people excited and keeps them in the ballgame.
I agree with that, because it was fun watching a couple of years ago on some of the regionals on television when you hear that Woo coming, and you can definitely hear it over the television. And you know what? My thoughts are, it gets the fans involved, I'm with you. It may not be my cheer of choice, but as long as fans are cheering and getting into the game, that's all that matters. And that's been a big deal towards getting involved on it.
Yeah,
and it totally gets into the head of the other team too. They hate it, which makes me love it.
Yeah. There's nothing worse when the game's at a critical moment, or there's two outs and two strikes in the ninth inning and it's dead quiet.
Yeah.
Especially when you're at home. And so, I understand people are going to cheer how they want to cheer, whether they cheer or not. But if they're making noise, I really don't care what it is.
That's right. You want them in the game.
sticking with the fan reaction and people being a little rowdy at games, how do you feel about the beer sales so far that happened this season?
Well, it was such a – what did we have it for? One midweek game and then the Lamar series. So I didn't really – I mean, I'm for it as long as it's, you know, under control. And, you know, I think that is – I think it's, you know, significant. I mean, I think it's part of baseball to go to a game and have a beer and a hot dog and popcorn or whatever, you know, nachos. And what I would really like to have seen it was on the Texas Tech weekend, and then we would have figured out. I understand why
Good
we
point.
Started then. You know, you got to crawl before you got to crawl before you can walk. So, I think all the feedback I've gotten has been positive, and those decisions, they definitely don't ask me whether we want to do it or not. But I hope it's something we keep going.
Well, I know a lot of our fans want to know how much you and Gary and Coach Dixon talk to each other. And you've mentioned a few times, so you guys do have conversations back and forth. Is the beer sales one area maybe where Coach Patterson's kind of like asking you, how do you think this is going to go for possible football sales?
He hasn't asked me that. You know, I haven't seen Coach P here in a couple of weeks since the end of school. But we normally get together in the summer. We have those, coaches tours. I know I'm doing one in Dallas and I think Houston for a couple days in July. So, but no, he hasn't asked me, but I'm sure that's something we'll talk about.
You're not coming down here to Georgetown?
When is that one?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll be down there at some point looking at players, I can promise you.
Well, you got one for, well, yeah, I think I was wearing my TCU shirt the other day at grocery store and some parent came up to me and said, "Great shirt." And I said, "You don't see many TCU fans down here." So I said, "Thank you. Thank you." And I thought at some point you'd signed or you'd talk to a kid or maybe I was mistaken, a kid from Georgetown around here. But anyway, doesn't matter. But anyway, I'm just happy to find anybody down here. It's for TCU because I'm in the belly of the UT beast and it's not fun half the time.
Well, Tennessee Tech just beat Ole Miss. So it looks like the Longhorns are going to host Tennessee Tech for a super regional.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Good.
So that's good for the Big 12.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's very good. Well, speaking – one last thing about the fans here, Coach. TCU Dirtbag had a quick question for you. He said, I think we all know what you and all of us want for the future of TCU baseball, to keep developing great young men off the field, whether it's for the future of baseball or otherwise – while sustaining success on the field and hopefully bringing home a national championship. And the question was this: what have you asked or what are you asking of TCU fans and TCU administrators to help you achieve these goals?
Wow. That's deep. you know, I think from our fans, I think it's just to continually stay engaged in our program, you know, and you know, buy a season ticket, you know, show up to the games. If I know 30 to 35 home games is a lot to put into your schedule, but if you can't be there, you know, give your ticket to somebody who can. And I think that's super important. And when you come to the game, you know, try to stay engaged, you know, and help us create a great atmosphere. And you know, I think the other thing I would ask is to continually be supportive of our players. And, you know, I think TCU is a really special place. I think we're abnormal. And when I say abnormal, I mean abnormally good. And, you know, one thing I've had a problem with just a few fans in the past is, you know, I'll take a peek and, you know, something negative happens on the field and I'll take a, you know, I'll hear something or I'll take a peek in the stands, which I shouldn't, but, and I'll see him yelling at the players. And then, in the next inning or so, the same kid will do something great, but they don't stand up and cheer for him.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with that. And, I mean, you can yell, call me, whatever name you want. I mean, this is my job, and I get paid to do it and paid, you know, too well probably. But these are kids, man, and they're – no one goes out on the field trying to make an error or trying to strike out. And so I think TCU overwhelmingly has been supportive of all of our student-athletes, and I would just ask that – as the program continues to get better and become more competitive and have higher expectations, that we remember, you know, who we are. And that's the fact that we're a real special place that's super supportive of these young people.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. And if they think they can do better, get out there and show them, show the crowd.
Well, I always say, you know, baseball is a really, really simple game. It is really simple, but it's really hard to play. And if you've never really played it, you don't understand how hard it is. How hard it is, for example, to get a bunt down against a guy who's throwing 93 miles an hour and the ball's sinking. You're in the stands. You're like, the bunt. This should be the easiest thing ever. All right, step in the box against Durbin and take a shot at it. So it's just, you know, and the kids understand that it's a really hard game to play.
Yeah, I think I'll pass on that challenge because I don't want to face 95 miles an hour coming at me like that.
No, it's like when we were talking to Skaug a couple of weeks ago and we're asking him, you know, what was the scariest pitcher he had to catch behind? And it was
Riley Farrell.
just the unmatched speed that he hadn't seen before his freshman year was just. And I can imagine that. I mean, I just sitting back there just seeing that pitch come right at you. I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah.
And Riley didn't call him the freight train for nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. And Riley was a threat to scatter a few too. So when it's 97 and moving and you don't know where it's going, that's not fun to catch.
No, I'll
certainly keep you on your toes.
I'll bet not. God. Yeah. We've been really fortunate, Jim. We've had some of your play. Brian Howard was on the show last fall, I believe. And of course, Evan Skaug, and we get anybody we can get, but they're always great kids and very enjoyable to speak with and interview. And it's a real testimony to the type of kid you bring in and develop. And we've never had one that's we've had to pull the words out of. They've all been just, you know, you ask them a question, they politely answer it, and they're just always complimentary of you and the program and TCU. And they're just a joy to talk with.
Well, that's just imagine how lucky I am that every single day I get to be around these guys. I always tell people the worst part of my year is professionally, not personally, but professionally is in the summer and over the winter holidays. It's because I'll never get to see the players. And so I'm sure they're glad to be away from me. But for the most part, you know, I enjoy seeing them every day and watching them interact and interacting with them.
Now, you've got a lot going out to play summer ball this summer.
We do. We have a lot. We haven't been a big summer ball program in the last couple of years, mainly because we've had older teams.
Right.
But you can go around. I mean, and also our season's ended 4 weeks ahead of when it normally has last. Right. So when you play all the way to Omaha and your season ends at the end of June, some of these kids are so gassed, even though they're set up to go to summer ball, that they don't do it, and I can't blame them. But since our season ended in May, they're upset and they're ashamed and embarrassed, and they're ready to, like, coach, I need to go play and get better. So if you go around our field, you know, just about everybody that's returning is going off to play, every single one.
Wow.
That's going to make you happy as a coach.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, baseball's a game. The only way you get better is to play it. And so going off to the Cape Cod League or Alaska or, you know, different parts of the country, and especially for the position players, to put a wood bat in their hand is really good for their development.
Yeah. We'd ask Evan if he had any trouble adjusting the wooden bat. And he said, no, not really. I'm not used to breaking bats, but
they're really expensive.
We may have to start a GoFundMe or Patreon.
Yeah. He also said that he missed he said when he was at TCU, he got sick of eating a lot of steak. And I thought, I don't remember getting a lot of steak when I was at TCU. But anyway, he said that now he wishes that he had it. He hasn't quite resorted to ramen noodles yet, but
he'll get there.
I still eat them. They're good.
Yeah, he's sleeping on a mat. What is it? He's sleeping on an air mattress.
Yeah, no furniture.
Their dining room table is a box that they turned upside down and put their plates on. So it sounds like he's a great kid. It sounds like he's having a time of his life right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Evan's a tough guy, and he He's smart. He's adaptable. You know, if anybody can fight their way through that lifestyle, Scout can do it.
Yeah. Well, he's close enough. My daughter lives in Charlotte, and she's got her husband and a couple of friends going down to watch a week. So I told Living, your fan club's coming to watch you.
It's always good to see a friendly face when you're bouncing around the minor leagues.
Oh, that's okay. Right. They've got their TCU gear, and I've taught them all how to put the frog sign up, so they're going to call him out. And Nolan Brown plays in that team too.
Yeah.
They'll get to see them all. Ryan, did you have some other questions?
Yeah, I had one. Yeah. So, Coach, you were talking about how the team is upset and they feel a little embarrassed about how they ended the season. I know a lot of TCU fans were just absolutely just thrilled to see what they were able to do in the tournament. And like you said, just one out away in the ninth of winning the Big 12 tournament. How did you see this team evolve over the course of the season? And what does it mean for next year?
You know, I mean, I was proud of the guys. I mean, I felt like that, there were parts of our, I always say that there are reasons and there are excuses, and we're not ever going to make an excuse ever. And, but there were reasons, certainly when you remove two All-American players pretty much for the year in Lucan and Janzik, and then you have Durbin miss, three or four or five weeks, whatever it was. Sean Weimer didn't really pitch healthy the entire season. Nobody knew that, but he was, banged up and he had a bad back and was constantly fighting that throughout the course of the year. That's going to take a toll on your team. But that's not, we're not making any excuses. We have to find a way to figure it out and get back to the NCAA tournament. And we came within one out of doing that.
Right.
I thought that, a guy like Kobe Boulware got better over the course of the season. I mean, for that guy, he was a guy that we were going to redshirt him, and we didn't anticipate him playing at all, definitely not in his first year. And by the end of the year, I think he hit around 280 and stole about, 25 bases and played a decent second base. And, I thought that was great. Even though his numbers didn't show it, Johnny Reiser, I think you see glimpses of what he can do on a baseball field. He missed the first – he got hurt the first game of the year, and he missed the first 5 weeks, I think, of the season. And had he had that time to kind of play his way into the season, I really think we would have – you could see a special player. And that's what we're hoping for next year. But some other guys, went backwards, and, there are reasons for that too. But, we'll keep plugging. They'll go off to summer baseball and try to get better. And I'm really excited about some of the young pitchers. I mean, Augie Milbauer is going to be a superstar in college baseball. I mean, a superstar. He's going to pitch in the big leagues out of somebody's bullpen if he can stay healthy. I think we still like, Caleb Sloan's going to do great for us. You got to love what Jake Eisler became over the course of the year.
Oh, he really stepped up. My gosh.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, he's got a chance to be he can pitch in any role for us next year. I can see him being a weekend starter, and I can see him closing. It wouldn't be the same kind of closer as Feltman, but he throws strikes. He's got a good breaking ball. He's a really good athlete. If Janzik wouldn't have got hurt, who knows if Iser would have ever gotten those innings. So, everything happens for a reason, and maybe we had to wear it this year in order to develop some guys to where we can have another special season next year.
I think Mark Cohen pointed out that last time we didn't make it to a postseason, y'all came back and made the four World Series right in a row.
Yeah.
So, and football does seems to do that too. When they have a losing season, they come back and just blow everybody's mind. So
We hope if that's the way it's going to go over the next 10 years, we're going to have two bad seasons to every four trip to Omaha. I'd probably sign up for that.
We'll take it. Yep.
There you go. I'd take that.
One of the players that really kind of developed well over his course here at TCU was Landestoy. What has he done over the offseason to really kind of develop his bat?
he played a lot during his time at TCU. He played a lot of summer baseball. If you see a picture of him as a freshman and see him later, and obviously this year, I think he probably put on 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Just really gets after it in the weight room.
It's all that steak.
But
yeah.
but the biggest thing with Michael is just who he is as a person. And we have another saying in our program called "The Game Knows." So the game rewards who works hard. The game also knows who cheats the game, who doesn't work hard, who cheats in the weight room, or who doesn't do the right things. And so Michael's a guy who's done everything right since he's been here. He's been a great teammate. He's sat on that bench when maybe he could have been playing more. He never pouted. And I just honestly think this past year was a culmination of him being a hard worker, him being a great guy, him being a great teammate, some guys getting hurt. Nobody knows this either. Michael played with a shredded shoulder the whole season. That's why he didn't play first base. If you remember, we had a game, I forget who it was, where he ended the game by, he hit a ball over second shortstop. He tried to stretch it to a double, and he got thrown out second base to end the game. When he dove into second base, he just tore up almost everything in his shoulder. Well, so he literally couldn't throw a baseball the rest of the season. He needed surgery, but he was a DH, and it was his last year. So it was like, why should we? There's no reason to get surgery. So just imagine, I mean, Juan Honan gave us his best at first base, but if Landeskog could have played first base all year, then we would have been that much of a better, you know, defensive team. Right. And so, there, you know, there's another little thing that, yeah. You know, and that's not something I'm going to talk about in the newspaper or,
sure.
anything like that. But it's just, it's part of things that happen in a season that could have made you a better club.
Well, he's one of those guys that's truly, for me, a joy to watch, because I always enjoy watching a player who enjoys playing the game. And it was clear to me that Michael Landeskog enjoyed playing the game. And that came through loud and clear to me. And he's just, he's got a great smile. And, you know, he's just a real engaging type of player. And he's been a joy to watch for 4 years. I hate to see him go.
And that walk-up music.
We're gonna have to find somebody with that kind of swagger to walk up to the plate.
My wife, you know, is Australian, and she understands cricket better than baseball, but she does like baseball. But every time Michael would come up to the plate and they play that walk up music, she's up dancing and waving her arms, and she loved it. So, you know, it's she hates to see him go as well.
Yeah, he's we're gonna miss him. He's a special young man, but he's got a bright, bright future. He's gonna be one of the greatest alums that we've ever had here, bar none.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I have no doubt he's gonna be a general manager of a major league team before the age of 35. No doubt in my mind.
Wow.
So
that's great.
That is high praise.
It is.
Hey, Coach, had another question out here from the fans. They want to know if there is anything in the way of facilities that you'd like to see in the future of TCU baseball.
Yeah, you know, I know that's in the last week, that's been a somewhat popular topic too. And, you know, I think Lupton Stadium is awesome. I love our setting of our ballpark. I love the way it's built and how it's kind of right on top of you. It doesn't go back. It goes up. So it's right on top of you. But let's face it, that ballpark, when you compare it to the old TCU Diamond or Field or whatever it was called, that was a massive upgrade. But that ballpark was basically built for about 1,800 to 2,000 people. When you look at the concessions, the restrooms, the suites, the press boxes, and I know it's only been 15 years, but our and I hate to, you know, I hope people don't take this the wrong way, our program has bypassed the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, for example, when ESPN or Fox National TV comes in to do a game, we don't have enough space to put them, visiting team radio, home team radio. And our press box situation is so tiny compared to, you know, the other top 8 or 10 programs. And there are schools now spending between $45 and $70 million on baseball stadiums.
Wow.
And I'm not saying we need to do that, but at some point we're going to have to address our entire ballpark. And my own particular opinion is that our ballpark can stay the same spot. We have to address our stadium. And I think the only way to do that is to start over and build a ballpark that we do add some seats because we have such a long waiting list for tickets. But then we just add a modern ballpark. You have an open concourse. What I envision is a really nice lower bowl of seating, maybe with some club-type seating, whatever. An open concourse where people can go get their hot dog or go to the bathroom or stand in the shade and still watch the game. And then you have a really nice upper deck. And then across the top of the upper deck are all your suites, really nice press box, broadcast booths, obviously some good shade and that kind of thing. We still keep our berm seating. We still keep our outfield seating. But I don't think there's any way to just continue to renovate or do odds and ends things here. I think for 15 years, TCU's done an awesome job of making it better little by little. I don't know what else we can do without tearing the whole thing down. And Jeremiah agrees with me on that. A lot of people agree with me on that. But the baseball program, I've always prided myself and the baseball program in being a team player. And so we have to get through this East Side construction because that's a huge part of the future of the athletic department, not just the football program.
Right.
And, in time, obviously, as the baseball coach, I hope sooner rather than later.
Sure.
But I would say within the next, 3 to 4 years, hopefully closer to three, we can really do something really nice and keep our program moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly made some great additions with the new locker room and then the performance center over there. But I know that I hear what you're saying, and I think I'd hate to see old Lupton go away because I've grown to love it. But you know what? What you laid out there sounds pretty exciting, and I hope we can work towards that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I don't think we'll lose anything. Again, I'm not looking to move it to another site or turn it around. I mean, I would just keep everything the exact same. I mean, our indoor facility can remain the same. Our offices can remain the same. But we just take down all of that aluminum structure and start all over. One thing I would like to see us have is we have no grand entrance to our ballpark.
Yeah.
When we have recruits come in, they don't, hey, where do I go? Do I come in from left field? Do I come in from behind home plate? And, we deserve that. The track program deserves that. And, and I think we can create something behind the home plate area where we have a beautiful grand structure that allows you to go to baseball. It allows you to go up to track, and it looks, TCU has amazing facilities all over the campus. We just need to match that.
Right.
Yeah. Something like the Showmeyer, the entryway that we've got, there's enough history now with TCU baseball. Why we don't have like a Hall of Fame for TCU baseball is beyond me. I think that would be, definitely be something that I'd like to see if Lupton is ever renovated.
Yeah. I mean, we could do some cool things, no doubt about it. I don't want to take away from the Hall of Fame that's in the, up there near the basketball arena, but we definitely have enough major league players and
hopefully
we have a national title to throw in there by the time then you get a new ballpark.
An extra restroom or two, please.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. I know you're wanting to get back to the draft. Just have one last question to finish this off. A couple of people have wrote in and they all kind of ask him the same question. They all want to know, what is your fondest memory so far as the head coach for TCU baseball?
Well, it's my fondest memory, and there's a ton of them, but I think anytime you break through and you go to Omaha for the first time is super special. And so for me, it's got to be game 3, 2010 at Texas. that was such an awesome experience, and for a program that had never been to Omaha, to break through on that stage against a legendary program, against a legendary coach, that was a pretty special day.
Mm-hmm. Was that the coach of Florida State, Mike Martin? Is that right? What?
Yeah, I was talking about at Texas with Augie.
With Augie. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just remember that famous quote he had: "Sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield."
I'm feeling like the windshield right now after that last game against Baylor. But
yeah, well,
we'll get over it.
Well, Coach, we do appreciate you coming on tonight, and thanks so much for addressing the fans. We really appreciate it. I know a lot of the fans have written in, and especially after the news that broke earlier today, and they all wanted to kind of let us know, or at least pass along to you, that, you know, a lot of us were kind of jaded by the whole situation that happened in the last couple of weeks, but we love you very much, and we know you bleed purple, and we're glad you're the head baseball coach here at TCU.
It's my honor to be here, and I'm sorry if people, I can understand why they get emotional, and believe me, you know, I get emotional too, and it's just, you know, it's part of the job, and I couldn't love it more, and I'm very grateful to have everybody's support.
You got it, Coach.
Yeah, we're all looking to support you for next season. This is going to be a special team to watch.
We hope so. Let's just get through the next 2 days.
Absolutely. And with that, I think we've come to the end of our podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. We're on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. You can also go to killerfrogs.com or frogswire.com to get the latest TCU news. We're on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at @killer_frogs, and also on YouTube and Facebook. Just go ahead and search for Killer Frogs. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And it's the point of the podcast where we get our frogs up and we all get to say,
go frogs.
Go frogs.
Go frogs.
All right.
Thanks again, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Enjoy the
night. Good night.